Welcome to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Talking South Carolina high school sports every Friday morning and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. With weekly appearances from coaches, players, and media around the state. Let's go! Off the first quarter. Happy Friday.
Yes, happy Friday to everyone. Matt Smith is here. Do not adjust your screens. That is Rob Williams joining us, not on a Sunday night, but on a Friday. You see Stunning Steve Hall there. Both Steve and Rob took in some great action last night. This is a championship Friday here on Four Quarter Friday. Rob, we'll get to you in a second. We'll let Steve sing your praises. He wanted to bring you in because he said, look, we've got to pick his brain. We've got to have Rob on the show. And I like it. Bring a little different flavor to the show. I said it's a championship Friday. Already we've had champions crowned and fantastic games, fantastic action, not a blowout among them. Last night at the Colonial Life Arena. Steve, we'll let you bring Rob in because you guys were in the house. You took all of that in. I was in Pensacola with the Sun Belt Championship, and I don't know how it is that I live by Pauly's Island. I just got back from Pensacola, and I look this pale. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm working on it. Steve,
you need to buy a good light, Smitty.
I need a better
it'll be
light
all good on screen, and nobody will know the difference. None the wiser.
You're right about that. Does Mike Morgan wear makeup? Come on. We'll discuss that in the chat. But Steve, we'll bring you in. Let you introduce Rob because I know you guys enjoyed your time at the Colonial Life Arena. I hate it for Greenville. They came. Both the boys and girls didn't leave with a championship, but I left last night after seeing. All of those scores roll in. I just thought those games were outstanding. It must have been tremendous energy inside the building.
Well, you know, thanks, Rob, for coming last night. We had a great time. You know, me and him got to know each other a little bit more. We don't, you know, me and Rob don't know each other that well, but Rob's a former high school basketball player from Union. You could sense through his show, SEC Sunday Night, and his time on Inside the Gamecocks that he loves basketball. So, I knew we had to get them all. And Rob, what was your take after? Let's just go ahead and dive right in, Smitty. 5A Division I. We're going to have Andrew Baxley on here in a little bit, so we definitely want to pick his brain. But 5A, excuse me, Division II boys, Westwood takes home the crown. What was your take from that game?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, first of all, thanks guys for having me on. It's fun to talk high school sports after, you know, the only high school stuff that we get on SEC Sunday night is recruiting talk. And so it's good to get into the down home roots of South Carolina a little bit and actually get into some of these games. And you're right, Steve, I do love the game of basketball. It started out really fast last night between Greenville and Westwood, and that was in favor of the Red Raiders, and they came out hot and took a 20-10 lead through the first quarter, and then pretty much everything flipped after that. Westwood settled in, settled it down. They just needed to get into the half court and stop running from end to end. And that's what Greenville, I think, wanted to do. It really played to their advantage early in the game. But after Westwood kind of got it into the half court and was able to run their sets a little bit, Jalen Cruz really started to take over. And you also had DeMarcus Thomas with a great night as well. So two seniors for Trent Robinson really stepping up to make plays. And it was really at every level, to be honest, guys. They were getting to the rim. They were knocking down threes when they needed to. Even the forgotten mid-range jumper was found in the arsenal a little bit last night. So that one was probably the most interesting, in my opinion, even though it was the biggest margin of victory because it was such a big swing. And I know that Philip Simmons also overcame an early 8-point deficit, but just to see how dominant Greenville looked to come out, they couldn't miss, and they sped the game up so much And then Westwood goes on like an 18-4 run and takes things over in the second and third quarter. And that was about all she wrote. Greenwood made a little run at the end of the game, but couldn't quite close the gap. So big time first state championship there, in addition to a shared track title a couple of years ago, but in the major sports, first title for Westwood. So a lot of celebrating going on over in the Blythewood area this morning.
Yeah, and I believe we had multiple first-timers last night. I mean, Landrum girls basketball, they had an incredible night. The first quarter, they get out to, let's see, it was a 20-10 run. They scored 20 of their 45 points in the first quarter and then held on at the very last second when Atlantic Collegiate had a really good look at three. And it did not fall for them. So Landrum girls, congratulations to them. You know, talking about those swings, Smitty, these things were really interesting. A lot of those games did get out to big leads. Landrum was the biggest one to hold on to their lead throughout the game, but the rest of the game seemed to have those fast starts by the, like, for example, High Point Academy goes up 17-10 in the first quarter, could not hold that lead throughout. So really interesting games.
I thought it was a great day of basketball. And of course, we have another great day ahead of us, and that's what we'll do with Andrew Baxley. So just to lay it out, tell you what Rob and Steve took in yesterday. Landrum, as he said, the 2A girls state championship, that was a 45-43 win over Atlantic Collegiate. Philip Simmons wins 50-46. Another game, that's the boys in 2A, that comes down to the final minute. So if you're in the arena, you know, sucking down some chili dogs and having a Mr. Pibb, these are not sponsors, by the way, Four Quarter Friday, then you just saw the first two games coming down to the final minute. You don't know who's going to win. The Berkeley girls repeat 54-50 victory over Greenville in 5A Division II final. You don't know who's going to win that game with 90 seconds left. And then the one you guys were just bragging on, Westwood, of course, wins their first state title. And even though, as you said, Rob, that one had the largest margin of victory, if you were in the house and you saw the first quarter, Greenville had a double-digit lead in the first half. You might have been thinking, oh, what a disappointment. Too bad for Westwood. So, I mean, just an incredible day of basketball. We've got another one ahead. We'll continue to talk hoops with Rob Williams, but we've got we'll have Andrew Baxley join us in our next segment. So it was Rob and Steve and Andrew Baxley, and they were all there together. We'll put those minds together in our next segment. We've also got baseball to break down because the Classic Baseball Tournament is happening in Georgetown. And Dorman got a big win yesterday. You've got state championship contenders in Chapin and Southside Christian kicking things off this morning here in Georgetown. We'll preview those games. And a big story that we won't ignore, Jerome Singleton stepping down as executive director of the South Carolina High School League. I know these are the kind of things Rob does want to talk about. It's like, you know, you said down home. It's like these – Jerome Singleton. I mean, how many years have you heard that name, Rob, in terms of like storylines that are bouncing around, things that you care about and are talking about with your friends?
Well, it almost feels like it's weaved into the fiber of the high school sports conversation at this point. I don't know that I can really, if I try to search back in my memory, if I can pin a time frame on when it started clicking for me that he was such an important piece of what's going on. But I mean, that's bombshell news. There's obviously, I'm not going to bury the lead here either. There's a lot of conversation about the high school league across the state. Right. And to get this news that he's stepping down, now we have a little bit of a runway, right, until we see the end of that tenure and some time to gather information and figure out what the next step is going to be. And regardless of what it is, because he's such a fixture in high school sports in the state, there's going to be a shift and a change at the very least, Smitty, in our conversations and the name that fills that slot.
He's been the executive director since 2005. So that means Steve at your age, Rob, me, almost as long as we've been doing this professionally, or when we can think back, like you said, Rob, when we would have cared who the executive director of the South Carolina High School League was, all of those conversations have begun and ended with, well, what's going to happen? And Dr. Jerome Singleton was always going to be the face of that. So even if the committee went away that he didn't want it to, then he was the one that held the press conference and talked about it. And of course, we know, Steve, you're very close with some people that are part of the South Carolina Coaches Association. This affects them. This certainly affects them. We've been talking with ADs and coaches about the bill that's been in front of the legislature about you know, perhaps dissolving the high school league. And then this move, everyone assumes that this move was made to try to derail that, that the high school league now is going to survive in its current form. Now, just so you guys know, Dr. Singleton was on Sports Talk earlier this week, and he would not say that that had anything to do with it. But I think all common sense tells us that's absolutely what happened. So anyway, as you said, Rob, we don't want to bury the lead. We want to make sure all of those stories get out there. But I think all of us are really in the mood to talk hoops. So we'll do that when we come back. We've got football talk with Matt Quinn, who is the head coach for Avery University, who has signed 32 players out of our state, out of the Palmetto State, who are going to play at Avery University. If you don't know much about Avery University, you'll find out today and why that's important for high school players across the state of South Carolina. But when we come back, we continue to break down hoops. That's Rob Williams, Steve Hall, and Matt Smith. And we've got Andrew Baxley from Prep Hoops South Carolina joining us on the other side. More champions crowned today. We'll discuss it all in Four Quarter Friday next.
The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
Tuned into the state of South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. What holds us together around this dot on the map? Now it's the color I bleed, and the stitches in my stitches and my stitches and my stitches in my pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. It's the color I bleed, and the stitches in my shoes and my jacket match it. Right.
cry.
This is Four Quarter Friday, and you see we're going four wide now. Matt Smith, Steve Hall, Rob Williams, and we bring in Andrew Baxley. He is now a frequent guest, a frequent contributor to what we do here on Four Quarter Friday. Four state champions crowned yesterday. Four more are going to be crowned today. Andrew, you must be just giddy because I know you love high school sports in our state the way that I love my children. So this must be like your favorite three-day stretch all year long.
It's just the best month of the year. It obviously we have the high school stuff first, but then college basketball. I love March. But yes, this week is definitely pretty special for me. And you can ask Steve and Rob that I probably talked a little bit to myself during that Westwood Greenville game.
Well, tell us what you saw. Let's start there because Rob and Steve were both breaking that down, and what they were both, you know, coming away with was just how incredible a game it was. If you love the game of basketball, to see the in-game adjustments, because Greenville gets out to that double-digit lead, but then Westwood, you know, just kind of walks them down. And then you had DeMarcus Thomas, you had 26 points. You know, you had two players for Westwood that really took over, especially in that pivotal third quarter when they flexed their muscle. And so that was really cool to see. You know, often we talk about that at the pro level or the collegiate level, but to see the in-game adjustments from the coaching staff and the players to turn that game around.
Right. I'm pretty fortunate to have seen both of these coaches work up close. I saw Greenville practice in early October, right after the September season. And then I watched Westwood practice like November 4th or something, their first open practice, a 6 a.m. practice. These two coaches they're kind of on the opposite spectrum. Like we know how successful Coach Stoneman has been with Ridgeview, with Oak Hill, and Trent Robinson's just really making his name, in this business. I believe this is year two or three for him. He was under Coach Combs there at Westwood. He played at Bob Jones. But it's two excellent staffs, like top to bottom. Like, so there was really no splitting these teams on paper coming into it. You have two great coaches. You have amazing guards. You have physical bigs. You have shooters. But it just felt like at second and third quarter, Westwood's two best players put the team on the back. You talked about Jaden Cruz, DeMarcus Thomas. They combined for 49 points total. And they kind of took turns like who was going to lead the scoring charge. Like for a while, early it was Jaden Cruz hitting big threes. Then DeMarcus Thomas would just get to the rim or get to the free throw line. And that was also, a key area. These two teams played earlier this season on a neutral floor, in a holiday tournament down in Florence. Greenville beat them by five, but one of the things that the Red Hawks really struggled with was the free throw line. They were something like 10 of 20 from the free throw line. And then last night they were 25 of 32, and Greenville only made 12 free throws, and that was a big difference there on the stat sheet.
Andrew, thanks for joining us, man. You really hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, I think I leaned over to you last night and said, I've been really impressed with the free throw shooting. You know, you don't get to see that as often in the men's game. But tell us a little bit about Philip Simmons. What was that like? Did you see that coming? They didn't get off to the best of starts, but they ended up winning their first state championship and their first appearance at the state championship in boys basketball.
Right. I knew they were capable of it, but it was a surprise. I just thought that High Point was going to be the more talented, the more athletic team coming into it. But Philip Simmons, they look like a team who had been there before. Like High Point played in this exact game last year, but at times they just felt frustrated, like by their offense not being able to get in a rhythm in the half court. All their best stuff was in transition when they could have forced a turnover, when they could play 3-on-2 or 4-on-3. But Philip Simmons, they just slowed them down. They got back into their zone, and other than a couple of early threes from Jock Miller, the High Point could just not space the floor at all. They were 0 for their first 8 there in the second half from beyond the arc. And then Miller hit a late one to kind of make that stat look better, but they were still just 4 of 17 overall. And then on the other end, you got guys like Dylan Morris and Hopper Hoffman who were able to add the 3-point and give Phillip Simmons a boost on the offensive end.
Go ahead, Rob. You jump in. You woke up early for this.
Yeah, well, I don't want to step on your toes, Smitty, as we kind of make our way through this. Andrew, as I looked at it yesterday, we've talked a lot about some of these boys games, but the Greenville Berkeley 5A girls game felt like the most battle to me is really the best way I can describe it. There were bodies on the floor. There seemed to be this level of passion that was coming out of both of those teams. Berkeley obviously trying to repeat, but the Greenville girls had this look in their eye that I didn't necessarily see over the course of the rest of the day. I was there to watch warmups for the first game and then had to cut out and came back for those 5A games. But did you kind of get the same sense that I did, even though that Berkeley was able to stretch it towards the end of the game? They couldn't quite put it away until the final buzzer, because Greenville just kept nagging and trying to claw their way back into it. And I could just see a little bit on the faces of those girls that they were really, really scratching and clawing and battling, trying to fight for that one. And I don't know that right. I saw that as much the rest of the day. Obviously, everybody wants to win, right? And there was competitive games across the board. But there was just a little something extra in that one.
Yeah, two things. The Greenville girls did a really great job of just putting game pressure on Berkeley. Like it just felt really tight. It felt like every Berkeley possession was a one possession, and when it was really three or four possessions, like it was just so tight because of how intense Greenville made it, and then the passion that you talked about. It, those crowds were amazing. Like those Berkeley fans are some of the best. And I remember last year in the Florence Center, it was the same, and I was in the workroom during their game, and you could just hear like it's different. The stands are a little bit different down in Florence. You could just hear them bounce like as they're doing their Berkeley chant. Like they're great fans. But Greenville with the two games, they traveled extremely well, and that was definitely a fun game. But Berkeley just had a few more big shots down the stretch.
I'll tell you this. I mentioned to both of you, Rob and Andrew, last night. I was just like, man, I just wish high school basketball was like this every single night in that kind of environment with both teams traveling. Heck, I wish the CLA was like that more often. Me and Rob talked about that. But they brought those fans from all those schools brought the juice. That's for sure.
Yeah. It the state championships belong at Colonial Life Arena.
Absolutely. Oh, shots fired at Florence. What are we doing here? Whoa.
Florence, I mean, I was born in Florence, so no shots fired at Florence, but maybe a few shots fired at the Florence Center.
Oh.
Well, from what I gather, Kerry Rich was a really big reason why these games were back in Columbia, which was great to see.
Yeah, and he was there last night. He was sitting in a row in front of us.
Right in front of us, yeah.
There's not many people who are more passionate about basketball in South Carolina than Kerry Rich.
Yep.
Well, you know what? I want to ask this, Andrew, because you mentioned High Point falling to Phillip Simmons. Of those four games, was that the biggest surprise? I mean, look, obviously, sometimes these teams don't play in the regular season. They all play different types of schedules. You don't necessarily know, but – just looking at the record that High Point was able to amass this season, I don't know if that was the biggest surprise, but was that the biggest surprise in your mind?
Right. I'm not as tapped in with the girls I am as the guys. It was probably a surprise preseason to see Landrum in that game. But just the way they've caught fire, it's not a surprise to see them win it and to see them beat Atlantic Collegiate. I would say probably High Point winning 27 straight after starting 1-2. The talent that they have, it just felt like redemption for them. So I would say that was the biggest surprise that High Point didn't win.
Andrew, let's move on to today's games. We got Christchurch versus Fox Creek, the first boys game for 3A. They were going to play at 4 o'clock today at the Colonial Life Arena. What do you see in this matchup?
It's going to come down to how much can Christchurch space the floor around Jonathan Perry. Because what makes Perry special is his ability to get downhill, how strong he is through contact, whether he can make reads out the paint or score it himself. But with Fox Creek and all their athletes, all their excellent defenders, their rim protectors, Christchurch is going to have to get guys to make shots and make threes. And that hasn't been a theme so far. Like, we haven't really seen role players step up with perimeter shooting. So if Christchurch can get that, if they can get a freshman like Ty Young to come off the bench and hit threes, that's going to be really important for Christchurch. And then for Fox Creek, it's a little bit similar. They're going to want to play fast. They're going to want to get out in transition. They're going to want to get the crowd into it because they're going to travel a lot of people. They have an excellent fan base. The students will be there and loud. And their guys just kind of feed off intensity. Even on the bench, their coaches are going to be on their feet. They're going to be making sure their guys are in their stance defending. So it's going to be kind of those two things. Can Christchurch space the floor? Can Fox Creek feed off the energy in the crowd?
Yeah, you kind of mentioned, as we look at that game, both teams defeating very athletic teams last week to get to this game, an MVP in Keenan. And I'm interested as well, Andrew, in just how this one's going to go in terms of pace. We talked a little bit about the pace of Greenville and Westwood last night and how quick it was to begin, and that transition was really beneficial for Greenville. But then once Westwood settled it down and got into the half court, we were able to see a little bit of a change. And Trent Robinson said after the game that they want to play the game in threes, right? Either a stop, score, stop, or a score, stop, score. And they're kind of building those runs in that way. I'll be really interested to see in this one because I think it a lot like what you just said. If Christchurch, I think, settles it down and does space the floor, it's going to do something to Fox Creek not being able to really use the athleticism. And maybe what they saw last week against MVP in the upper state is going to lend itself to kind of the style of play they're going to run into today. Does that resonate with you at all? Is that kind of what you're looking at?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it's two pretty opposite paces. Christchurch, they're successful offensively, but it's a lot longer possessions. It's lower scoring games. And then Fox Creek, when they're at their best, it's like that first Burns game when they're scoring near 100 points, or it's like these Keenan games when they're scoring 70 and 80. Like, they want to play fast. They want to press you. You'll see Fox Creek press. Sometimes they'll just go three quarters of the court just to speed you up a little bit, or sometimes they'll actually like get into you and press you and trap you to make you turn the ball over. So the pace is going to be a big thing, and it's always easier to slow a fast team down than it is to speed a slow team up, because Christchurch they've played this way for like 7 years or something like that. Like when they were in 1A, they were almost always in this game with the Butler brothers. And then Fox Creek, like, they're kind of similar. Like, they've been going up and up and up. When they played in 2015, they were 1A as well. And I think even next year they're going to be 4A. So that school's growing off the court. But pace is going to be a very, very important thing. And that first quarter, whoever sets the tone, that could mean a lot.
Yeah, Andrew Baxley joining us here on Four Quarter Friday. We didn't even promote what he does, which is Prep Hoops South Carolina. We just assume you see so much of him now, you know, but it's Prep Hoops South Carolina. I've got the site up now, and it's a great resource for us here at Four Quarter Friday. All right, but how about that 5A Division I matchup? Ridgeview is a team that, you know, Steve and I have been talking about, obviously, so much. We had no idea who was going to come out of the other side of the bracket. And it turns, you know, it turns out that it's actually Ridge, who I thought played a really difficult schedule, was in a really tough region. So now when you look at those two teams, is there any way to stop Ridgeview? Because we know that they lost that game earlier this season to Westwood, kind of in a rivalry setting. But since then, they've been an absolute buzzsaw. Can they be stopped?
Yeah, I'll tell you something fun about Ashley Ridge first. They were 13-0 in December. But in every other month, they're just 10-7. So is March going to be like December for Ashley Ridge, or is it going to be like November, January, February? That could be something that really plays out for them, because they were the 7 seed in this Division I bracket. They beat Wando at home. Then they had to go on the road to Carolina Forest, on the road to James Island, at the neutral Florida Cane Bay. And the Charleston area has lots of really, really good teams. But one of the things that, that makes Ashley Ridge special is they might have the best individual player in Clayton Everett. He's a guy who can get himself a bucket at any point. He really gets either easy buckets with his length and athleticism at the rim, or he gets to the free throw line. So that'll be an interesting matchup with the size and the athleticism of Ridgeview and how well they can protect the rim, because they have two guys in CJ Davis and RJ Moore who will, they'll get three blocks each if you let them. But I do think that, that Ridgeview will probably win this one. I think that they'll wear down. Watch for Chris Horton off the bench for Ridgeview. He's had a big playoffs. He's a big game player, even in the AAU season. I don't know if a lot of people understand like kind of how the AAU work, but like there was a single game where his AAU team, Team USC Unleashed, they were playing for the biggest game in program history to move on to EYBL, which is the highest level of Nike. And he had a 6-3 game as a 15-year-old. Like this is just a kid who's built for the big stage in his hometown. He's going to want to come off the bench and hit big shots. And that team feeds off of him. Like I talked about Fox Street, they feed off their coaches and their energy. A lot of times, like you don't see teams feed off a bench player like that, but Chris Horton hits big shots and Ridgeview feeds off that. So if he can get going early, it could spell a big win for Ridgeview.
Yeah, I think that this Ridgeview team probably has the best size and athleticism that I've seen this year. And that's a little bit scary for anybody that they face. I was telling Steve last night, one of the things that I always live by is that in college basketball, that 8 to 4 minute stretch in the second half is the most important stretch of any basketball game. If it's within striking distance, whoever goes on a run during that stretch typically wins the game because they are able to seize momentum. When you look at Ashley Ridge here, I think they have to make it to that stretch. That's a little bit of my concern is we've seen some fast starts. I don't know if Ridgeview gets out to a fast start, if this is one of those situations where we're going to see the major run like we saw with Phillip Simmons, like we saw with Westwood, where Ashley Ridge can kind of flip it back the other direction. If they can hold in into the single digits going into that 8 to 4 minute stretch, kind of the beginning of that fourth quarter, we're going to see whoever seizes the momentum right there, I think, is important for this game. But a lot happens in those first three quarters right before we get there.
And I wanted to say before you jump in, Andrew, Rob, what you just mentioned about Ridgeview, and I think it's the athleticism. If I'm not mistaken, Burns actually had Ridgeview down by double digits and Ridgeview was able to come back. So to your point, I just think the athleticism of Ridgeview, that just catches up to you, right?
Right. That's exactly right. And Ridgeview ended the game on an 8-0 run. They won by 8. And like Smitty said, at one point, Burns was up double digits. And Burns is a team that is similarly built to Ashley Ridge. Like, they're kind of focused around one player. Colt Fowler's a little bit more of a true point guard. He gets others involved more than Everett does. But Everett's probably a more gifted scorer at the rim. So that could that play into Ridgeview's strengths? We'll see. But like Rob said, like a big thing in college basketball is they call them kill shots. 10-0 runs. If Ridgeview has two kill shots in the first half, that's going to be probably over for Ashley Ridge. If Ashley Ridge can hold Ridgeview to no more than a 6-0 run or like an 8-2 run, they can really hang tight in this game because they're capable of runs themselves. Like they have guys who can make big shots, and it's not just Everett. You got Shane Pickney, you got Javion Gathers, who hit the game winner the other night for Ashley Ridge to send them to this game. But yeah, runs will be important. Basketball is always a game of runs, but it's going to feel like a Ridgeview home game. And when you're on the road, you can't give up big runs.
Andrew, you just mentioned a few more guys for Ashley Ridge, but if you were their coach, who would you need to be that complimentary player for them to get the victory tonight?
Right. I would say it's those two guys because those are the guys who, whenever it's on the bench or whenever it's off the ball, those are the guys who's going to have it, who's going to be making plays. They're going to take care of the ball. That's Javion Gathers and Shea Pickney. They're going to take care of the ball. They're going to have to be like true secondary point guards. They're going to have to get some of the bigs involved. They're going to have to get paint touches. They're going to have to get Everett open threes. It's those two guys. They're really just going to have to be smart all around, take care of the ball, get easy shots for others.
Before we let you go, Andrew, we want to ask, we want to make sure we preview tomorrow's games as well. We got 1A action coming up tomorrow, and then 4A. It's North Augusta and South Point in 4A. I know that Steve got to see North Augusta and was very impressed, and they've just kind of hit their stride here ever since they got back all their players back, and Bethune-Bowman and C.A. Johnson. And I know C.A. Johnson's a team that you pinpointed, Andrew, on our show very early that to keep your eye on. So you were certainly right about that. So quickly preview those two for us as well.
Right. C.A. Johnson is going to be kind of similar to Ridgeview. Like they're the deeper, the more athletic team, but they're also going to have the crowd on their side. It's really that might be the shortest drive from any school to any state, I believe, this or any school to Colonial Life Arena. I think that's the shortest drive, probably C.A. Johnson. But if they can get the crowd going, if they hit big shots, if Isaac Germany can get on the rim early, they could win that one pretty comfortably. That second game, it's a really interesting matchup because you have the guards of North Augusta. They'll have such an advantage because that's the weakness of South Point, is their guards are maybe not as consistent. Then the other end, you have Trey Raymond, who's been as dominant a player in the state over the past 2 weeks. He had 28 and 10 rebounds to get them past Lancaster to get him to this game. So that's a really interesting matchup, is the big man Trey Raymond, the size of South Point versus the guards and the physical play of North Augusta. That might be, apart from that Greenville-Westwood game, that's probably the most – the matchup, just style of basketball I'm probably most excited to watch.
That's an exciting thing to look forward to for tomorrow, because when I went to see North Augusta play Gray had the definite size advantage, and then – obviously, their two best players were not playing that night. Then you move forward into the playoffs. They get their guys back, and they it was like a 12-13 point win, if I'm not mistaken.
Over Lancaster?
No, North Augusta over Gray in the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was at Gray. They ended up winning that pretty comfortably. But I will say that's also – that might be the most even driving distance for two teams. And it's two great fan bases. I went to a game at South Point this year. I went to a game at North Augusta this year. Columbia's just about the dead middle, and that will be an excellent atmosphere as well. And it will be very, very neutral.
All right. We'll absolutely track you, Andrew, and Rob and Steve are going to take in more. I've got to watch some baseball. We have a baseball tournament coming up in Georgetown. We're going to talk about that before the show is up. Andrew, we love having you on. What do you do after this? Do you go in hibernation? Do you grow a beard during the off season? What happens when you're not covering the games?
I do often grow some type of facial hair, mustache. I try the beard. These next 2 weeks, I will definitely chill out. I'll definitely watch some college basketball. But really, the first weekend of April, unless my Tar Heels are playing in the Final Four, I'll be back into the swing with AAU basketball.
Oh, that's right, AAU. Well, there you go. Andrew mentioned the Tar Heels. That means that's our sign to let him go. All right, Andrew, we appreciate you, man. And look at Rob. We really we appreciate you, man. We need you, and we can't wait to obviously Rob and Steve are going to see more of you, and we just appreciate what you've done all season long for us, and so happy to have you as part of what we do on Four Quarter Friday.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and he also mentioned Nike, and you see that Rob's Team Under Armour. So there's all sorts of conflicts going on. We'll take a break here on Four Quarter Friday. Listen, a lot still to talk about. We've told you Jerome Singleton is going to step down. I may have misspoke. He doesn't have to step down right away here as the executive director of the South Carolina High School League, but he's announced his retirement. We'll certainly talk about what that means. We'll look at that classic baseball tournament in Georgetown. But when we come back, we're going to have Matt Quinn join us. Head coach, Averett University, Matt Quinn, like Steve, like Rob, like me, has deep, deep roots in the state of South Carolina. And because of that, when he got a job outside the state, he came back to the Palmetto State and signed 32 high school football players. We'll talk to Matt Quinn when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina.
If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
This is Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Steve Hall, and Rob Williams. And I did fail to mention the upcoming girls games, which are coming up later tonight and tomorrow, because we've got, 5A Division I girls being settled, 1A and 4A and all of that coming up. So, Steve, certainly you can roll through that, make sure we celebrate that as well, because if, like, you were there last night, you and Rob were there.
Yep.
If you haven't been a fan of girls basketball in our state, you saw the intensity. Rob talked about Berkeley and Greenville just flat out getting after it last night. So if you can get to the Colonial Life Arena and take those in, certainly we encourage you to do that tonight and tomorrow as well.
Yeah, man. And Elena Carter for Berkeley might have been the best single player with the single best performance across all the games. So definitely we got to give the girls game some a lot of recognition. We'll probably have Akeem from South Carolina Girls Prep Hoops on next week to kind of break down all these games. Wasn't quite enough time to get him in today, but today, Smitty and Rob, we got Keenan and Walhalla playing at 2 p.m. for the 3A Girls Championship. And then the 5A Girls Division I Championships at 6, and you're going to have Blythewood trying for a repeat, and they're going to be playing the Fighting Jamie Bradfords of Wando. And that's 6 o'clock. And then Saturday, tomorrow, we have the Military Magnet Girls versus the Great Falls Girls at noon. And then on 4A, at 4 o'clock, North Augusta. This is not their first rodeo. Okay. They're trying to win another state championship against Westside, and that's going to be 4 o'clock.
Yeah. I'll be really interested to see some of these matchups. Keenan, a school, we had Greenville last night and, North Augusta tomorrow, where both girls and boys are in town for the state championship game. And Keenan's another school that was this far away from having that as well, with the boys falling to Fox Creek last week. But the girls are going to go in there today and get us started and see if they can keep another state championship in the Columbia area. A lot of Columbia area schools across this list that kind of sticks out if you look at it. Mm-hmm. There are some, there's a lot of representation for the people with a short drive, as Andrew was referencing a minute ago. So that's one of those things, Steve, as we get going today with Walhalla and Keenan, I kind of imagine there's going to be a lot of blue and gold in there for that first one.
Yeah. But I will say, I mean, this is for all the marbles, and every fan base so far has shown up in a big, big way.
True.
But you said earlier in the year, Steve, not only, we've got to give the Columbia area its props. You said not only early in the year that you really liked a lot of the teams in the Midlands. And you said, look, you're a Midlands guy yourself. So I hope I'm not being biased, but I just think there's a lot of strength there. And I agree with that. There's pockets elsewhere. You've got some really good teams out of the Charleston area that we're seeing. You have some teams like in the upstate. We know what Thomas Ryan has done at Dorman, and you have pockets elsewhere. But I think when you throw the wide net and you say, okay, if I were to pick who's going to bring home
you know, like five of the 12 championships, then it's those teams that, as Rob mentioned and Andrew mentioned, they're like in one of the within a 20-minute, 30-minute drive right now of the Colonial Life Arena. It's a really good job that those coaches and those programs have done in cultivating not just on the boys' side, but the girls' side as well. Like Rob said, a lot of representation from the Midlands this year and historically. So you just you got to give them their credit. It's one of the things that those programs do really well is win at this time of year.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, we talked about earlier in the year that South Carolina basketball strengths probably are in the Midlands, but then you know, historically speaking, when you start talking about football, you know, the Upstate has been that area with the most powerhouse teams, maybe. Now Dutch Fork has kind of interrupted that in 5A Division One, but we'll get right, to football later.
Yeah, but you're right. That's one team, and you know Somerville's done what they've done with the you know double digit state championships, but that's one team, not necessarily a full area. And what I think the Upstate has been specifically that Spartanburg. Like kind of the corridor, Spartanburg County up through Gaffney. Well, Rob knows all about it. He was in Union. You guys, probably when you were school, you had to play those Spartanburg County schools, right?
Absolutely. I played at Union County, and then I went to North Greenville to do my undergrad, and then moved to the CSRA for a little while, and then back to the Upstate for about 7 years in the Lyman area, so in District 5. So I have spent plenty of time playing and going to games and standing in locker rooms and on sidelines for a lot of that Spartanburg corridor of schools. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been there, done that, and all that stuff. I got dunked on by LJ Peak at Gaffney. So I've had my fair share of all of the schools along 85.
Oh, that's it. Oh, I love the LJ Peak reference. Rob, we're having you back on because we want to hear all these stories. I know we're busy today. We want to hear all those stories. Getting dunked on by LJ Peak, that's a segment. That's a segment the next time Rob joins.
That's just a tease. There's more to that story.
Okay.
Love those stories, though. I have a friend who played ball up in Maryland. His claim to fame was he got posterized by Rudy Gay. You remember Rudy Gay?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Where he played at UConn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Smitty, I think we got to get to our interview with Matt Quinn soon. This was pre-recorded last week. We couldn't fit the whole interview in last week. But, Smitty, give us just a little brief synopsis of what everybody's going to hear in this interview.
Yeah. This was so great. Now, obviously, if you know the history of Four Quarter Friday, Steve started this show, Steve Hall, with Justin Hall, unrelated, and Matt Quinn, who is a longtime football coach in our state, high school football coach. And they were going to get this going. Well, just as that was happening, just as Steve and Justin were about to launch, Matt got a job offer and ended up taking the job as the head coach at Averett University in Virginia. And you know, obviously, so he's doing that thing, and I end up joining this show. Well, then Steve stays in touch with Matt, and we have him on last week. And what I love about this is, and you'll hear us talk about it during the program, just that during this interview, that Matt knew what kind of talent was here in the Palmetto State. And it's great to see the fact that he decided, well, you know what, I'm going to get my coaching staff, and we're going back into the Palmetto State. And we're going to build this university's program based on a lot of players that I know and coaches that I trust in the Palmetto State. So you're going to hear references, just like Rob was making all those references to people and places you know. That's what you're going to hear from Matt Quinn here. He just has this long history in the Palmetto State. And so even though now he's working outside of our state, he's coming back in here to give kids opportunity to play college football. So our Palmetto State players are going to play college football all because of that connection. So that leads us into Matt Quinn. Again, Steve will introduce that interview when you hear it because they've got a history together. They know each other. So we'll roll right into it. Here's Averett University head coach Matt Quinn on Four Quarter Friday. Welcome to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network. Matt Smith and Steve Hall, and you've got Coach Matt Quinn joining us now as well. And you see, he's now a head man with Everett University. And he coached in our state, the Palmetto State, for many years. And because of that, Coach Quinn has recruited this state, and he's giving Everett now a big-time Palmetto State flavor. So just want to check back in with you, Coach. I know you were instrumental in getting this show off the ground, and we just wanted to check in with you and see how things are going with all these kids that you've signed from our state.
Yeah, for sure. Love the show, first and foremost. I love what you guys are doing for the state of South Carolina. Being from the state and spending 15 years coaching in the state, it's cool to see this platform kind of take off. It's cool to see, Steve, it's cool to see that Four Quarter Friday logo. It's really nice for you guys to take the time out and, you know, reach out to us as well and put Everett on the map a little bit. I think throughout the state of South Carolina, it's been a lot of fun with the recruiting. You know, I've spent time in each part of the state, from the PD to the Midlands to the upstate, and made a lot of great connections there with a lot of great coaches. And that's really helped in our recruiting and those relationships. I mean, that's what recruiting is all about. It's all about relationships. So right now, to this point, with our 2026 class, we have over 30 players from the state of South Carolina committed to play for us next year.
Coach, we're going to have to start a merch line so we can start contributing to the NIL packages at Everett. But tell us a little bit about, before we start digging into these South Carolina players that y'all are getting up there to Virginia, tell us a little bit about your staff that you're rounding out.
Yeah, so first we have our assistant head coach and offensive line coach, Pat Boland. Coach Boland has been at Everett for 20 years, played here, graduated from here, and he was the kind of the lone holdover. You know, when I first met him, I saw the passion that he had for the university and what he wanted to see it grow into, and we connected right off the bat. Secondly, we've got our defensive coordinator and linebackers coach, Coach Baldwin, Sean Baldwin. He was at Nation Ford High School last year. He was actually coaching with me at St. Andrews before that whole fiasco went down. He was over there with us and jumped on Coach Jake Bentley's staff at Nation Ford. And then I was able to steal him away from Coach Bentley and Nation Ford to come up and run our defense. A guy that's spent several years in scouting departments with the Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns. So you've got a guy with NFL experience over there. I brought Coach Avery James from South Carolina as well. He played at Burns High School, ended up playing at Liberty, and then finished his career at the University of South Carolina. And he's coaching our defensive backs, and he's our special teams coordinator. So we've got a few more guys in the works. There's one more South Carolina guy to be named. I'm really excited about him. He's coming from Newberry College, but that'll be coming out here in the future.
And I assume you're calling the ball plays, right, on the offensive side?
Yeah, I'm going to be the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. It was just something that I couldn't give up. Not yet. I have so much fun calling plays. Like, you go through so many headaches as a head coach, you know, with recruiting and budgets and this and all these different things that you've got to juggle. The fun part's calling the ball plays on Saturdays, man. That's what I look forward to, and I can't give that up quite yet.
Well, let's get into some of those players that are from the Palmetto State, because I find that so fascinating that, you know, you get this job, and maybe as you start talking about individual players that you're taking up there to Everett in Virginia, you can talk about, you know, I guess the fact that, hey, this is what I know. I know what these guys can do because I've seen them with my own two eyes. And plus, you also know who coached them in high school, so you know their background. So maybe you can kind of tell those stories as you talk about some players that you're taking up there.
Oh. Matt, I think we lost audio.
Coach, we lost you for a second. Somebody got muted. Matt.
There we go. We're back.
Okay. So, yeah, like I was saying, it's just the understanding the coaches, where they come from, how they have been trained up, and you know, good programs, what type of competition level they're playing. We've got great competition from 1A to 5A in the state of South Carolina. It's extremely awesome to see that. And then so finding the players that kind of get overlooked in the great state of South Carolina. You know, the guys from the rural areas, just being able to get into those areas. Everybody knows about the powerhouse programs across the state and recruits those programs. But for me, it was just being able to go into the small towns of South Carolina, you know, Loras, King Street, to Orangeburg, to these little places that have really, really great players. They have really great coaches. Sherrall, South Carolina, like great coaches, great players all across our state. And so my thing was to get into those small areas, show them what Averett's about, because not a lot of people knew about Averett from South Carolina. And the facilities that we have, the stadium that we have, the training room, the recovery room, the field house, it's top tier for our level. So just being able to show some of that off and show the potential that this place has been extremely special for me to be able to recruit my home state.
Yeah, and you talk about that, and you see so many players on Sundays now that come from a school that wasn't, you know, a South Carolina, Clemson, or Florida State, yeah. That got found in the rural areas of this state. I mean, I think one of those players we were talking about, Smitty, earlier when the NFL playoffs were going on was the corner from Lamar. You know, and you're going to have to remind me his name real quick, but I don't think he ended up playing in the SEC or ACC right off the jump, at least.
Kobe Durant?
Yeah.
That's it. Played at South Carolina State. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah, Kobe actually came when I was at St. Andrews, came and spoke to our players. His brother was on my staff at St. Andrews and now is coaching at Lee Central. So having Kobe come in and share with our guys. But it's guys like that all over the state of South Carolina that get overlooked. You know, no disrespect to South Carolina State, but to be able to find an NFL player out of Lamar, South Carolina, like you just don't see that types of things happening. And I will give a shout out to South Carolina State because Coach Barry and his staff are doing a phenomenal job there with that program. And it's great to see. I've met Coach Barry a few times and we've talked. He does a great job.
Matt, I mean, J.C. Sherbert talks about this all the time, especially recently, who's on the Inside the Gamecocks show and part of our network. And he talks about football. It's a developmental sport. You know, what does that look like for you at Averett? And then what you're already working with the players that are already on the roster and then high school, the balance between high school and portal and kind of how that is going to be implemented into y'all's program.
You know, development's huge, man. Just taking small baby steps forward every day. You know, I think that was our biggest thing when I first got here was the first 2 months, you know, January and February, we did nothing schematic, nothing X's and O's. We took steps forward in how we work out, how we are going to practice, the expectations, the standards, so that we could continue to get 1% better every day. You know, when I looked at last year's film from Averett, there weren't bad players on the team. The record doesn't show. They were 1-8, but there weren't bad players. It was just the culture and the accountability and the brotherhood aspect of it, which when I learned that about this place after I was going through the interview process, it excited me because that's what I like. I like the relational aspect of it and building a program through that because at the end of the day, like, you can draw plays on a whiteboard all day long and every one of them is supposed to work, no matter if it's wing tee offense or air raid offense. It doesn't matter what you want to run. It's supposed to work, but what it comes down to is the relationship. Does the player trust you? Do you trust the player? And so that's really where we've tried to start with our developmental phase. You know, you talked about the portal a little bit. Being a high school guy for so long, I would say that I did not like the portal and I think it's hurt high school recruiting. That's my opinion. But, you know, in my situation now, I like that the portal's there because we're getting these guys that are slipping through the cracks and we're being able to pick up guys that, you know, 10 years ago would not be at Averett. They would have been at a D2, D1 program, FCS program. So being able to do that. And then with the way I talk to our kids and our recruits is like, look, if that's your dream and your goal, the good thing about the portal is it's hurting you right now as a high school student. But if you come here, you play well, you're all conference, you score a bunch of touchdowns, get a bunch of yards, you can get re-recruited every year. And we have open conversations with them about that portal. Like, hey, if we have a conversation about it and we agree, go into the portal. I'm not going to kick you off the team just for going to see what's out there, but you just have to communicate with us. And that, again, goes back to the relationship factor. So the portal has hurt high school kids, helping me in the process. And in the long run, I think it'll all level back out at some point. I think as legislation and stuff changes with NCAA rules, that at some point we will probably get this figured out and how to regulate it a little bit better. But right now, I think, you know, being able to get some guys that have college experience, you know, with a team as young as we're going to be, a lot of transfers left when the coaching change happened. That's what happens now. A lot of guys graduated, so good for them. So we're going to have a young squad, but being able to go into the portal and get 5 or 10 guys that have college experience, that have weight room experience at the college level was important for us, especially in the trenches, because the difference between an 18-year-old offensive lineman and a 22-year offensive lineman is a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Matt Quinn joining us, Averett head coach, and we're having him on because he's got all these ties to the Palmetto State, and he's gone and gotten 30-plus guys signed, South Carolina players, and is giving them an opportunity to play. I'm curious, Coach, when you get that many players from one state, there was probably some that, you know, knew each other. Did they help recruit each other? Are there any stories there about guys calling other guys to go up to Averett together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got multiple guys that played on the same high school team. We've got guys now that are so bought in. After they come on a visit, they meet our staff, they realize, hey, we're South Carolina guys. They start texting us information. Hey, check out my buddy's film. He plays across town or this or that. So they have started to help recruit each other, which I think is another sign of growth in the culture. Our current players are sending us, you know, players from their high schools, guys that they see on Twitter. They'll send it to us. Hey, coach, check this guy out. And I think that, again, that's just a testament to the culture that our staff has created in the first 2 months here. Teammates recruiting teammates, buddies recruiting buddies, guys that played in the All-Star games together. Hey, I remember him from North South. You know, that was fun for us to be a part of. And it's still ongoing. We still have a few more missing pieces that we're trying to finalize here in the upcoming weeks. And, you know, Virginia obviously is home base for Coach Bolin and his recruiting territory. But for me, South Carolina, like, I know it so well. You know, I can't go into Virginia and say, oh, I know this coach. I know what type of competition they're playing against. I know how he's been trained. So it's just a comfort level for me to be able to go through the state of South Carolina, you know, from the Midlands. You know, I spent 4 years at Westwood High School to North Augusta, to Darlington, to Chesterfield. So all of those connections have helped. And along the ways, I've developed great friendships with a lot of coaches. So they're reaching out to me, you know, the coaches of South Carolina. Hey, coach, this kid's overlooked. And he sends me the film transcript, and we're like, okay, let's talk to him. And so the recruiting side is all relational. And so being able to really anchor down in the state of South Carolina for myself has been a lot of fun.
Coach, give us a couple players that you could name. I know we don't have enough time to list all 32 players, but give us maybe three or four of them that you're really excited that chose to come to Averett to play some football. Oh, we got to mute again.
You there?
Yep, we're here.
The first one, while I'm pulling up my list right here, the first one I'll tell you is Caden Thomas, quarterback out of Sherrall. Really good player, you know, 6'4", 6'5", frame, can throw the football. But again, like we talked about at the beginning, just a small school, small town that kind of somewhat gets overlooked. I know who's coached him. Coach Andy Poole's been training him up and developing him since he was in middle school. So I know what type of player we're getting out of him. I know the expectation that he has from his high school coaches. So it translates to us throughout this recruiting process. So that's been a lot of fun. We've got a couple of players from Latta High School, a couple of guys from Latta, like teammates. That's one of the teammate situations that we were talking about. Let me keep going down my list here. Dillon High School. Got a couple from Dillon. We'll try to find another one I can actually name for you. Tremaine Ashford out of Marlboro County. Tremaine Ashford is a wide receiver athlete, return man that can really fly. And, you know, my wife being from Marlboro County kind of helped with that connection too. But just being able to find guys like that, we've got Cameron Hewer from Nation Ford, a defensive lineman that Coach Baldwin actually coached last year. We had a transfer just enroll in January from Chesterfield, Tage Diggs, offensive lineman. He went to play at Allen University. And then when I got this job, he jumped in the transfer portal, and that was one of the first names I saw when I finally got access to see what the transfer portal really looks like. By the way, guys, it's wild. It's crazy. When you log into there, it's mind-blowing how many names and places. But I log in there, and I was like, Tage Diggs. I was like, oh, I coached him. So it's guys like that we were able to get out of the state. I'm going to try to find you one more here that I can kind of mention from a different area. Nori Belton out of Anderson, South Carolina, and Westside. Another transfer guy, but a guy that was actually playing for me at St. Andrews. But I know the reputation and the pedigree that he came from, you know, Coach Lane and those guys up at Westside. Coach Lane coached me. So I know that he's prepared to play college football.
You know, you say that you are going to some overlooked places, and it's so fascinating because when you live inside the state and you hear these things, well, Dillon shouldn't be overlooked. Marlboro County shouldn't be overlooked. These are places – I mean, Westside High School's turned out a couple of NFL players I know right away. So, But you're right, but because – it's funny. It's also geographical, I think. It's to get to Sherrall, it's, you know, it's not in Rock Hill, so you got to go a little bit further to Sherrall. And it's only somebody that has experienced our state that knows what kind of athletes at those schools you're talking about can churn out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to be able to get into those places, sometimes you got to drive a little bit further. And you have to make the ends meet the budget, the recruiting budget to get there, right? So to go into Chesterfield County is a little bit different. So you've got to be able to set up meetings with Chesterfield High School, Sherrall High School, Central, MacBee. Like, you have to be able to plan out your day so that it's not just going in to talk to one person and one coach. So planning your day strategically with those areas is important to save time and save money so you don't go crazy trying to do it.
Coach, you kind of mentioned your wife, Megan, earlier. Has she said, hey, if you don't offer this kid that don't – you're sleeping on the couch yet? Has she put you on any of those players?
Yeah, well, she sent me a few names. Now, she hasn't threatened me just yet. we might get to that point. I don't know. But she's a great football wife. I'm glad you brought her up because I need to shout her out. She's been on this journey with me for, you know, 15 years. I mean, she's been on the journey from the start when I was a position coach to offensive coordinator to head coach. And she's made the moves and bounced back and supported the family and the house while I have to, you know, come to Virginia a few months before her. So I got to thank her publicly for that because she's a great football wife. But she has connections, too, with different guys and different players.
Good stuff. This is Matt Quinn joining us. Averett University in Virginia. He signed 30-plus players from inside our state. You can probably hear he and Steve go way back, and Coach Quinn goes way back in our state. That's what I wanted to ask because you've actually name-dropped a couple of coaches and some schools and everything. I want to ask you, I know you don't have the ability to do this, but magic wand time, if you could pluck a coach out of the state of South Carolina and add him to your staff, who would you choose? Who is somebody that's easy?
That's an easy question. Bobby Bentley. I mean, that there's no – I mean, now if you – position need, okay? So if you're going to say offense
– Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're calling plays. You say, Bobby, you're going to come in here and not call plays?
No, if I hired Bobby Bentley, he'd call plays. I can guarantee you that. If we're going defense, I got to say Chris Miller. If I need a strength coach, Mike Schrock. So I know they're all Burns guys, but they you know, Miller spent some time at Spartanburg High School, Broom High School. But those guys, man, those are like my mentors to this day. We still talk to this day. Coach Bentley still coaching high school football out in Tennessee, but I mean, it's tough to beat that one. You know, the run that he had at Burns, you know, 8 championships in 10 years and being able to go to the SEC and coach and now again goes to a brand new state and wins a championship there. So Bobby Bentley's like, that's a great question, but it's easy for me to say I'd hire Bobby Bentley and I wouldn't even coach quarterbacks. I would step away and, hey, you got the quarterbacks too.
Well, if you can't get Coach Bentley, I have a strategic move for you that would get you almost every player in South Carolina. You get Tom Knotts and his son to come up there and get them out of the high school league in South Carolina, and every coach in South Carolina would be thanking you.
You know, I think if that happened, you're right. It would make everybody happy. They would be happy for Coach Knotts, but they would be happy that they didn't have to coach against him anymore. So you're right. You know, Coach Knotts has had college opportunities. And what a great ambassador for the state of football and just football in general. Golly, the run that they've been on, absolutely amazing. And the coaches that he's developed, you know, Coach Braswell now going to South Florence. He's developed another head coach, Coach Pelham at Lake Wylie, another great head coach that studied and coached under him. So his coaching tree is awesome as well.
Yep.
I was going to jump in with a question on this same topic. I'm so fascinated by this now that we're talking about coaches from the state of South Carolina, and you have moved into the college ranks. So that's what I wanted to ask about. What advice would you give? Let's say you have a friend in coaching in high school, and he says, you know what, I think I want to take one of these smaller college jobs, run my own program. What advice would you give? What have you learned in the last few months being a college coach as opposed to a high school coach?
Yeah, I would say don't burn any bridges and keep those relationships open. We all have on the field rivalries and we've had words and we get into battles with different. I've been in battles with coaches across the whole state of South Carolina. But when things end and then when we go to the clinic in the summer, like we're friends, you know, we talk. We help each other and develop throughout the clinic and different avenues that we go through in the state of South Carolina. So I'd say don't burn any bridges, man. I think, and to be quite honest, I think one of the criticisms of me was that I bounced from different school to different school. And there's various reasons and factors behind all of it. And we'll not get into all that. But in each move and each change that I made, I never burned any bridges. I did things the right way. I left the right way. And now that's paying off for me. You know, I have all these connections across the entire state that are helping me with the recruiting aspect. And then, you know, jumping into what advice to go into college, be prepared for your first 2 weeks to get about 2 hours of sleep a night. Be prepared for your Twitter notifications and DMs to blow up. You might want to get a second phone because the text messages are going to be through the roof. I try to clear my notifications because they bother me when you got the little number there. It's impossible to do at this point. So we have to prioritize and go through what text messages I'm going to be able to reply to in a day. But, you know, just be prepared to grind, be prepared to work because there's the glitz and the glamour and the things you see on TV. That's all great. And Saturdays, I'm sure it's going to be fun. I can't wait for my first Saturday game day. But there's 98% of your time is outside of a Saturday. So the recruiting, the weightlifting program, the off-season stuff, the spring practice, like all of that stuff, you have to be ready to grind through it.
Coach, I can't wait to get up there for a spring practice or even like definitely a game. But I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about something very close to your heart and your co-host's heart. You have a podcast yourself, and it's all based around your journey of faith. And it's called Armor Up Athletics. And you know, being able to see what y'all have done with that show, you know, I if for anybody who hasn't watched it yet or listened to it, you got to, especially, you know, the first half of it when y'all are doing your devotionals. But talk to us a little bit about that and how you're actually moving that mission now up to Virginia.
Yeah, it's, man, it's a great show. Philip is related to my wife. So the co-host is actually related to my wife. We met one day in August. And so when St. Andrews shut down, I was there for 3 months. I went through a rough patch in my life and had to figure out what I was going to do, how I was going to provide for my family, what the next steps were. And that's when I really found my faith and dove into faith the way that I should have been for a long time. You know, I've always been a believer and all that, but I just wasn't living right and doing things the right way at all times. So Philip and I met, had breakfast. We came up with an idea for a podcast that was based on faith and sports. And so that's kind of what we do with our devotion, is relay it and tie it to sports themes and different topics that we can talk about, share verses, share stories about those topics. It was a great time during football season. So now it's kind of growing and we're still keeping it rolling with me being here. Now the high school talk is a lot of local Chesterfield County PD area football that we went through, but it's been fun to be a part of, being able to actually have the faith and courage to step out on that platform and share my beliefs has been refreshing, just to be able to get it out there. Look, this is who I am. And actually, one of the recruits that we brought in, the mom sat right here in my office and said, "We actually listened to Armor Up Athletics on the way here for the visit. You did a great job." And like, now the kid committed to come play here. So, you know, you can't have too much help with recruiting, right? Jesus can help me recruit as well. So it's been fun, man. And you know, shout out to you, Steve. I mean, you just got an Armor Up award.
Well, now, Wait, go back. I want to know this. Which church, shout this out, which church were you going to growing up in Duncan? Were you Greer First Baptist? Were you good West
Duncan Side First Baptist? Duncan First Baptist Duncan is where Baptist. I actually played basketball there all the way through high school. And then we moved over to Lyman First Baptist like my 11th and 12th grade year. Our basketball coach at Duncan First Baptist got older and he moved out. So we ended up moving over to Lyman First Baptist and played basketball there and went to church there. I never played high school basketball, which probably irritated our basketball coach back in the day. He begged me every year, being 6'7". But it was so hard, man, because at Burns, when I was playing, we played until December 5th every year. I mean, it was just known when you started the season, hey, we're not done until December 5th. And that was halfway through basketball season. So it was tough to get out there and be involved in working out with the team. So I just didn't have the time to do it. And then I went straight into throwing baseballs with Coach Simmons, our head baseball coach back at Burns. So basketball was kind of the thing that made me go to church, because you had, back in that day, you had to go to that church to play on the basketball team at the church. So sports has been a part of my faith for a long time.
That's interesting. And anybody that knows, church ball in Spartanburg in the upstate of South Carolina is serious business. There's guys I will scowl at in the grocery store from Cannon's Campground over there. And First Baptist Spartanburg. Don't look at me wrong, because of, I remember those. Those are battles. People took that seriously. I hope they still do. We took it seriously.
I don't know what it's like at this point. I just know we had a lot of fun. I know I ended up with like 3 or 4 techs in my senior season because you weren't allowed to dunk. And when I got on a fast break, I was like, whatever, I'll take the tech. So.
Man, I had the same problem all the time.
Hey, Coach, before we let you go, man, we got to throw up your spring practice graphic and just allow you to have one more pitch to about Averett football, where y'all are located, where they can find you on socials, et cetera, man.
Yeah, so this is our spring practice graphic, obviously. We're in Danville, Virginia. It's 30 or 40 minutes from Greensboro, North Carolina. So if you know where Greensboro, North Carolina is, it's right across the border. So you're not going all the way into North Virginia. Like, you're right here on the border of North Carolina. I can leave my office and be in North Carolina in 5 minutes. I am 2.5 hours from Florence, South Carolina. So it's not a bad commute. So being in Danville, Virginia, our motto is welcome to the Ville. And that's our foundation of our program: vision, integrity, leadership, legacy, and effort. And that's what we talk to our guys about daily. Every day before we work out, before we practice, before we take the field, we have a life lesson on one of our foundations, and we rotate through the V-I-L-L-E each time we meet. And so that's the thing that we want to leave them with. We want to make sure that we're developing them as young men, as future husbands, as future fathers, as future leaders in their community, as much off the field as we do on the field. So I think that's the biggest thing for us is the relationship aspect. And I can't talk about that enough, but development of the human, not just the player, but the human being.
That's Coach Matt Quinn, man, with Averett University Football. We can't wait to follow you through your career at Averett, and can't wait to see what some South Carolina boys do up in Virginia, show Virginia what South Carolina football is all about.
They're definitely going to show them what South Carolina football is about. We have that conversation right when they come in my office before they leave for the day. We got to show these boys what South Carolina is about, and we want to put South Carolina on the map even more. On the collegiate level.
That's fantastic. All right, that is Matt Quinn, head coach for Averett University. We will be tracking all of those players and him because he's a Sandlapper baby. He's an old Palmetto State boy. Next time we have him on, we'll talk about the barbecue in Lyman, Duncan area too. We'll get him to pick one too next time. We'll do that. And we've got a lot more to cover around the basketball championships. We'll do that when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
Oh, our thanks to Matt Quinn, head coach for Averett University. And I love that he recognizes what we know, which is there's a lot of talent in this state across all sports, but certainly enough in football to fuel a program like Averett University. And as Steve said a few times, we'll show them what South Carolina football is all about. So we'll get back in touch with Matt Quinn ahead of next football season because he's kind of part of the genesis here on what we do at Four Quarter Friday, one of the reasons that we started this show. Let me quickly, before we get Rob and Steve to close things out with what's going on in hoops at the Colonial Life Arena today and tomorrow, I will be at the Classic Baseball Tournament in Georgetown, Mike Johnson Park. This is the first year this tournament will be held without Mike Johnson. He passed away. We lost him. We've lost a lot of great people in the last year, but lost Mike Johnson last year. So that's going to be a part of the storyline. But at the Classic Baseball Tournament, a lot of state title contenders. Yesterday in action, AC Florida defeated Chapin 12-4. Stratford got Georgetown 6-1. James Island rolled Southside Christian. This is a bit of a surprise because Southside Christian has three pitchers that are going to be either drafted or at a major, major power four university. So Southside Christian got some big arms. They've got a college pitcher going every time they go out, but they lost yesterday to James Island 12-2. And Dorman got Seneca 5-1. So today, Chapin and Southside open up early. So we'll see Southside Christian back out there. They may be throwing their number one arm. Dorman and Stratford. Oh boy, that's an old like cross state football rivalry. Dorman and Stratford, that one's coming up kind of midday. I'm going to try to catch that one. AC Florida and James Island, and then Seneca Georgetown. Four more games Saturday, including a home run derby and skills contest, and then you've got Sunday's championship rounds. All the information is on Instagram. They do a great job at the classic underscore 1991. And what we're going to try to do is give you as much of that information as we can, pass it along to you through our X account at Four Quarter Friday. So I will be there. I'll be doing that. Meanwhile, Steve, Rob, I'll turn it over to you because you guys will be on the hardwood this weekend.
Well, as fun as it's going to be, Smitty, I'm a little jealous because the sun has come out in South Carolina and the heat is here. I was a basketball player because because I'm 6'3", but because during the winter, it's a little nicer to be in the gym than outside trying to find a way to play something else in the cold. But as soon as the sun comes out, it's time to grab some sunflower seeds and get out to the baseball field. So I'm a tiny bit jealous, but we do have fantastic basketball in the CLA today and tomorrow.
Absolutely. And wait, did you hear that humble brag, Steve? Ladies, did you hear the humble brag? You know, I played hoops because I'm 6'3". Oh, my bad, Rob. Oh, all right.
Sometimes you just have that God-given ability as your height, and there's not much else to it. I was the tallest player on the high school team my senior year and played the five at 6'3", and that's not always the best place to be.
Well, you mentioned being outside and the sunflower seed, Smitty. Is there anybody, are either of you fan of the peanuts in your Coke?
100%.
That's a country boy right there. I try to be elevated. Yeah. I try to be elevated. You know, I've seen it my whole life, and I've tried it, and I said, I don't know, this isn't for me. There's, you know, sometimes, you know, you want the sauce on the side. I just think I keep my peanuts and my Coke separate.
Smitty, I'll take the glass bottle Coke.
Oh yeah,
and some honey roasted peanuts. Excuse me. We put those two together, and that's a match made in heaven.
Well, another, you know, this is a high school show, but we're all grown men. So, you know, the salt in the beer, you know, at a Carolina baseball game.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I learned that, by the way, from my grandmother. I saw her put salt in her beer when I was really young. And of course, I couldn't drink it. I said, okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. And then when I tried that, because if you've got a beer that doesn't have a lot of flavor, and we won't call anybody out.
You're still looking for, we're still open for partnerships here.
That's
on
right. We're looking for partnerships.
We're not calling anybody out.
I'm not going to call anybody out, Mick Ultra, but if you put a little salt in it.
Hey, we can start a new Real Men of Genius line.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We need a little throwback stuff like that in our lives.
Well, hey, Rob, let me ask you this before we get out of here, though. Like, going back to basketball, switching gears real quick.
Way to keep us on the road.
That's right. Who are you excited? What game are you most excited to see today and tomorrow?
Okay,
give me one game today, one game tomorrow.
So the obvious one to say is Ridgeview, right? Yeah. And Ashley Ridge, but I've seen Ridgeview this year, and so I know a little bit of what I'm getting from them. So I'm actually going to go with the first game that we have today, Steve, the 3A girls matchup between Walhalla and Keenan, because there is a basketball history at Keenan, and I want to see how that translates in 2026. Are they going to get another one? A little bit kind of forgotten in terms of the matchups as we look across the board. And then tomorrow, I'm going with that 1A boys matchup between C.A. Johnson and Bethune-Bowman. I love the C.A. Johnson team. We noted this earlier with Andrew. That school is super, super close. They've been on quite a run this year, and a team that I've kind of had my eye on since the very beginning of the season. They were able to host a tournament, an event on a Saturday, and a lot of great stuff was happening with a lot of teams from all over the place. And just caught my eye early on. So that's really the one that I'm looking at for tomorrow. I think it's going to be hopping in the CLA when C.A. Johnson rolls in.
I'm going to give a different answer just to be different, because yeah, I am very excited about Ridgeview versus Ashley Ridge. But I want to see if the Blythewood girls can come in and win back-to-back like Berkeley did last night against Wando. I don't know. I need to do a little bit more digging, but I think Wando might be a little bigger. So it'll be an interesting matchup tonight at 6:00. And then tomorrow, you know, both North Augusta teams, I just can't wait to watch them play. I know Coach Harrell from North Augusta is looking for that first ring. You know, the boys are probably tired of the girls having all the rings. So can't wait to see what happens against South Point.
All right, we've got to roll to a close. Rob Williams, in 10 seconds, give us the information on SEC Sunday night. How can everybody catch you?
SEC Sunday show on X, or you can go to our YouTube channels here on the Chief Sports Network or the Chief Sports app. So you can follow us there. It's also broadcast on my profile at Rob Williams GCP every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports Network.
All right, we're turning it over to Inside the Gamecocks. Oh, there's a lot going on in that world right now. So Jamie Bradford coming up next, J.C. Sherbert. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of Four Quarter Friday. We have already got a big show planned for you next week because more on these state championships, more on baseball and softball. It's all happening in the world of high school sports in the Palmetto State. Four Quarter Friday returns next Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us, all of South Carolina. We love talking ball, and we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.